Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we will attempt tonight to heed the word as John admonished us this morning and put some of the wisdom as Proverbs talked about this morning into practice through heeding the words that Jesus brought in the Sermon on the Mount. So let me read from that sermon, verses 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, we may not be quite as familiar with these verses as we are with the verses that are on either side that kind of bookmark our passage tonight. So, for example, starting in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're familiar with that, right? We've heard that. And then on the other side of our verses, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So we're familiar with that as well, right? So both of these passages help us, I think, to understand what Jesus is saying in verses 22 and 23, and vice versa, what he says in our passage sheds light on these other two commands and these admonishments that he gives us. So in all three of these cases, really Christ is setting up a contrast between two ways to live. So on the one hand, there is the person who stores up treasure on earth, who loves and serves money, and who is full of darkness. On the other hand is the person who lays up treasure in heaven, who's devoted to God and who is full of light. And the difference between these two people, according to our passage, is whether that person's eye is good or bad. And so that's what we want to think about this evening. What does Jesus mean when he says that the eye is the lamp of the body? And this symbolism of using the eye. And so when we think about that, we think about vision. And we all understand how important good vision is. And even right now, I understand how important good vision is. As I'm wearing this silly microphone thing, it's tweaking my glasses to where I can't quite see as clearly as I would like. You know, I'm kind of dependent on my glasses to be able to see clearly. If I take my glasses off, all I see is a bunch of flesh-toned blobs out there. You know, I can't really see facial expressions. I can't really see anything. Guy over here, he looks like he just has one eye right in the middle of his head. But I put my glasses back on and my vision becomes clear. And so we can understand that physically, that vision is important. As a matter of fact, about a year and a half ago, I was in a car wreck. Somebody hit me on College and my airbag deployed. And that's an experience in and of itself. But when that happened, it knocked my glasses off. And so here I was in the car, people were coming up, and are you okay? And really the only thing I was concerned about was finding my glasses, because I really couldn't deal with all these other things until I could see. So we can understand, I think, from the physical aspects of life, how important clear, good vision is. And in Jesus' words here, as he uses these analogies, he helps us to understand that that's true spiritually as well. We need to be able to see clearly, spiritually, in order to understand. And so when we look at the passage today, I think there's really two points that we want to think about here with respect to sight. And so first of all, a good eye allows us to see clearly. And secondly, a good eye brings focus. So those are the two things that we want to focus on this morning. And then we'll conclude, or not this morning, it's this evening. And then we will conclude by listening to Jesus' warning about a bad eye. So first, let's think about the idea that Jesus talks about here with respect to light. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And again, this is easy to understand. What does Jesus mean by light if we think of it in a physical sense? So if we think about coming into a room that's completely dark, we recognize that we can't see anything. We're lost. We don't understand what's in there. And even in Proverbs 4 this morning that John preached, verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So in darkness, we're prone to stumble. We're prone to trip over things and not be able to see. But if we turn the light on, everything's revealed. In the room, we can see furniture. We can see color. We can see distances between one thing and the other. So things come into focus. Things become clear. And spiritually, of course, Jesus is saying the same thing. Just like in the dark room, things exist. What is true already exists, but without light, we're unable to see it. Spiritually, it's the same as well. What has always been, what is true, what is right is there. We just need to be able to understand it then. So light refers to the eternal reality of God himself and the gospel as revealed in Christ. Just a few references that remind us of that. John 1, 4, and 5 tell us that in him, referring to Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Matthew 4, 16, also referring to Christ, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And then 1 John 1, 5, and 7 say, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." So the light is true. It has always been there, but only healthy eyes can take it in. And so in Jesus' illustration, the eye is symbolic of a person's spiritual condition, much like the heart is, even in verse 21, when he talks about, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's the spiritual condition that is characteristic of us. And as the ESV says here in verse 22, he says, "So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." That word "healthy" in the Greek really has a couple of meanings. It can mean clear, and it can also mean single. And those really play into our 2 points tonight. So a healthy eye is a clear eye, one that allows in much light, as opposed to a grimy, dirty, distorted eye, which blocks out the light or diffuses it. So a good eye brings clarity to us. With this in mind, think back at what we're told in verses 19 through 21. This is an illustration, really, of the differences between a clear and a dirty or an unclear eye. If one is seeing clearly, he will store up treasure in heaven. If one is not seeing clearly, he will store up treasure on earth. That one cannot see the reality that everything that is earthly is fading away. It's temporary. It's to be stolen. It is to be destroyed. So, on the other hand, the clear eye has that spiritual understanding that recognizes that only heavenly treasures are worth investing in. So, for us then, we have to ask ourselves, how clearly am I seeing with respect to where am I storing my treasure? Where is my treasure? Where then is my heart? Am I caught up in the pursuit of worldly things? Do material possessions, hobbies, entertainment, grades, if you're in school, a career or status, have your heart held captive? Where would your friends or your spouse say that your treasure is? Maybe they're a more objective measure of what you think. What does your calendar reveal? Is your time given only over to personal pursuits? Or do you intentionally make time for your brothers and sisters in Christ, discipling and building them up? What does your bank account reveal? Are you only investing in your interests and your future exclusively? Or have you set aside resources to be faithful to the church and generous towards God's people. You know, even tonight we heard multiple opportunities that we would have to invest our time and invest our resources into the kingdom, into storing up treasure in heaven. So if we have a good eye, it brings clarity to what is eternal and what is fleeting, and we can see the difference there, and that we might invest wisely in those things that are eternal. Well, secondly, a good eye brings focus. Again, that word in verse 22, healthy, literally means single. So we should think about a healthy eye or a good eye as being single-minded in our pursuit of the kingdom, as opposed to having double vision. So again, with that in mind, thinking about verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So here Jesus is giving an illustration of spiritual double-mindedness, trying to serve two masters, trying to essentially kind of double vision there, if you think of it in the terms of the eye. And this is an idea that is essentially a loss of focus. If we try to serve two masters, we don't have focus on what is true and what is right. So there's so many masters here. He talks specifically about trying to serve money and trying to serve God at the same time. And we understand that serving money really is serving the things that money can buy. So again, what would we invest ourselves in, and what is our master, so to speak? What do we spend most of our time pursuing? And as we think about that thing, we recognize that the healthy eye, the focused eye, understands that it's only possible to serve one master, and that God is not willing for us to attempt to serve two masters. You know, that's something that we often are attempting to do, is we want to serve God, we want to be faithful in that, but at the same time, we might find ourselves really serving with our resources and our time something else. And, you know, this is a temptation for all of us. I think it might very well be a particular temptation for college students as they have just gotten newfound freedoms out of their home and want to seemingly enjoy all of those freedoms, but at the same time try to serve God and be faithful to his church. And that will lead us oftentimes into serving what we thought we weren't. So there's a confusion here in this double vision of trying to serve two masters. And we all need to be careful about that. There are so many masters from Monday through Saturday that demand our attention. And if we find ourselves just with what we are doing, serving them, we need to be careful. We need to be reminded. And something about this condition that is particularly true is that it's hard to self-diagnose. It's hard to see that I am trying to serve two masters. But if we have that spiritual eye of clarity about what is right and true, then we're able to understand that. And that's where our brothers and sisters in Christ come in to the picture and help us to diagnose our condition, and that our vision is off. So we should do that. We should seek to help one another to have a single-minded approach to our devotion to God. And we should be praying that we would not succumb to the double vision of attempting to serve two masters. And then finally tonight, just look once again at verse 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Do you see the danger of self-deception that Christ is pointing out here? If the light in you is actually darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, Jesus' audience would have primarily been made up of people who would have considered themselves to be religious, to be faithful. And if you had have asked them, they would say most likely, yes, I have the light in me. I am full of light, as Jesus describes it. But we all know that many of those people actually had darkness instead of light. And they had succumbed to following something that was not true, and in a self-righteousness kind of way, desiring to earn their way to God. And we know that that is actually darkness. It is not light. And so we can identify that in Jesus' audience of the day, but we should not presume to think that we are more wise and more healthy than they would have been. You know, even amongst ourselves, even every Sunday morning, undoubtedly there are people who sit in the pews and think that they have the light, but rather actually only have darkness. And so there is only one true source of light. And listen how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So only believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ results in being full of light. Only acknowledging God's authority and his holiness and confessing that we have fallen far short of that. Only repenting of our sins and calling on him for salvation. Trusting in Jesus' perfect life to be applied to our account in front of God. And trusting in his substitutionary death that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. That I owed can bring us to the light. This is our necessary response, to trust in him, to repent, and to believe. And this is only the thing that brings eternal light into our soul. So let us not be deceived that there is any other source of light besides God's grace and mercy in Christ. Trusting in anything else is darkness. And how great, how eternal is that darkness? Pray with me if you would.